what's 1 Kings 18 about? Chapter real quick. Ahab and Elijah, and what happened on the last part of the chapter there? The scene on Mount Carmel with the prophets. So that calls it in chapter 19, after Jezebel had threatened to kill Elijah. We're back into Elijah. Threatened to kill him. How did Elijah react to it? To Jezebel's threats and whatever. Yeah, kind of the self-pity withdrawal type thing. And so God deals with him. Look down then in verses 15 through 17. Albert, read those, if you will, there. 1 Kings 19, 15 through 17.
Then the Lord said to him, "Go and turn on your way to Moses, Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Israel. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Manoah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes,
okay, of these three, which one has already taken this place he was announced here? Hazael king yet? No. Jehu king yet? No. But Elisha is. He has taken Elijah's place. So, yeah, just a little background for that. We're going to need that this morning when we get into the lesson this morning. So, okay, number one on your paper there. Set the scene. Who's ruling in Judah? Who's ruling in Israel? Where are we now? Get back. Just one chart here. I'll show you right quick. Here we are. You can look at the time frame across here. We're right in this section right here now. So here's Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah in Judah. And up here, Ahab, Ahaziah, Jehoram, or Joram, same one. Name up here, and Jehu's coming next. We just read about Jehu over here, so we're right in this time frame right here now. Okay, so let's get the scene here. Who's doing what? So in Judah, we've come down with Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and then Ahaziah, his son. In Israel, we had Ahab and Jezebel. They had these three children here: Ahaziah, Jehoram, and Athaliah, sister. Ahaziah reigned, and now his brother Jehoram is reigning. We've got Jehoram here. We've just finished up Jehoram here. We've got Ahaziah here. And what's the relationship between the kingdoms now? Who's married to who, and who's uncle to who, and who's aunt to who, and who's what to what? Yeah, Athaliah is kind of the circle between all of it, yeah. Okay. Jehoram and Athaliah here are married. Okay. And so this would be their son. So Ahaziah reigning in Judah is the son of Jehoram and Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. We'll be able to talk about that a whole lot more later, a little later on. And then we'll get into this part here. Because actually Athaliah is going to wind up reigning over here in Judah, of all things. So that's kind of where we are right now. So, okay, again, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, who was a very wicked king in Judah, one of the wicked kings in Judah. And then he's the youngest son. The older ones were all killed by the Philistines and the Arabians. The mother was Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Jehoram, who is now king of Israel, would have been his uncle, okay, Athaliah's brother. And he's 22 years old. Think about that. 22 years old when he takes the throne. He was the youngest of the sons, because the older ones were killed. So it's a very young man when he took the throne. And he reigned 1 year, and he was very wicked. And we'll talk about that some more as to why that might be. Okay? We're actually in 2 Kings now, 2 Kings chapter 8, starting in about verse 7. We're going to look at this next part here. 2 Kings 8, starting in verse 7. Okay. Question number 2. I got to fix this thing. Quit jumping ahead of me like that some way. Question number 2. Who's king of Syria? And then he was sick. And what's going on here? So who's the king now? Ben-Hadad. I ain't got to Hazael yet, which you read about a few minutes ago. Ben-Hadad is sick. He sends who? Hazael to go see Elisha. And what do you want to know? Is he going to be well or not? Okay. Why would he ask Elisha? Because he's a prophet. Okay. Now, what was the relationship generally between Elisha and most of these kings? Not too good. But when he needed him, what? When he needed him, I'll go ask him, I guess what's going on here, okay? Yeah, he knew what he knew, right? I knew where his source was, which is what he knew there. Okay. So, number three, what message, which is a kicked up here. Elisha went to Damascus to meet Ben-Hadad, seeing him carry up, Ben-Hadad's very sick. He said, Hazael to meet Elisha. He got a big, big, big gift for him. 40 camel loads of goods is a gift. Now think about that. 40 camel loads of goods he sent to Elisha. Will Ben-Hadad get well? And what did he say? Yeah, he will. But he's going to die. He's sick. He's going to get well. Yep, but he's going to die. Kind of a mixed bag answer there a little bit there.
He's going to get well enough to die.
He's going to get well enough to die, right? Okay. All right. So, question number three. What message did Elisha have for Hazael? What's Elisha start doing? He starts weeping, okay? He starts weeping here in the front of Hazael. Hazael. And so Hazael in verse 12, what did he say? Another prophecy here. He asked him, why are you weeping? What was the answer?
I know what's going to happen when you come.
And what is that going to happen? What was it, Bill? Now, who's he talking to? Hazael, king, who's going to be king of Syria. We're not talking about Israel and Judah now. But who's he talking about he's going to do all this stuff to? Israel. Okay. So he's talking about what's going to happen to Israel, which is where Elisha was from, of course. Okay. I know the evil that you do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you'll set on fire, their young men you'll kill with a sword, you'll dash their children and rip open their women with child. Pretty gross. So Elisha was weeping because that's the prophecy he had been given from the Lord that's going to happen by Hazael to Israel. Pretty upsetting to Elisha here. Okay. So, what was Hazael's response? Verse 13. Me? Am I a dog? You know. Would I go back and do all this stuff? Okay. Should I do such a, what do you call it? A what kind of thing? A gross thing? Would I do such a gross thing? And what did Elisha say? Where's his source? The Lord showed me this. Okay. This is what's going to happen. This is from the Lord. When you become king over Syria. So, Hazael goes back to deliver the message back to Ben-Hadad. And what did he tell him? Yep, you're going to get well. That's what the prophet said, which was what he said. That's right. Next day, what was the other part of Elisha's prophecy? You'll die. When is that your natural death? How did he die? Hazael took a wet cloth and put over his face and killed him. Okay. So Hazael goes back to Ben-Hadad, tells him he's going to recover. And the next day, he killed him. So the prophecy came true. Yes, you will get well, but you will die. And you say, how? He died at the hands of Hazael. Hazael couldn't wait. Verse 4. Wait, question 4. No, excuse me, not verse 4. First question 4.
He showed the kind of person he was, the way he killed
him. Yeah, I mean, am I a dog? Did I do such a gross thing? Well, you got started pretty quick, like the next day, right? It went to Israel, but it's to the king there. So how long did Hazael wait for Elisha's prophecy to come true? The next day. He said, I'll take care of this myself. So he went and did that. So that's the way that the prophecy came true from way back in 1 Kings 19, that Hazael would eventually become the king over Syria. This is when that came true here, that prophecy there. Okay, questions about that? Comments from anybody? All right, let's jump and do a little his. Number 5 on your paper, skip. Let's go to 6. We'll come back there in just a minute. Now let's go get number 6 first. And we're going to be in 2 Kings 19, the first 13 verses here for a minute. So, Jehu now is going to be king of Israel. Okay, I'll give him the right place here now. Jehu's going to be king of Israel. So, let's look at these first 13 verses here a minute. So Jehu's anointed. In chapter 9, I'm getting a little bit out of a little order chronologically. I'm going to jump to 2 Chronicles a minute and pick up a story about Jehu here in a minute. But this part here by first. Elisha sends one of the sons of the prophets to Ramoth Gilead. Okay? And he takes Jehu, he's in a room. He tells him, he says, go get him by himself, anoint him, and flee, get out of there. Leave quickly. And then he flees as he goes there. He found him, anointed him, gave him a message, then he fled. And this is the key part here, this part here. Look at verses 7 through 10. So chapter 9, 7 through 10. Try to read those for us. Here's what he is to do when he actually becomes king.
You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will leave the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahab. All shall be Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezebel, and there shall be none spared.
Okay. He went and delivered the message. Jay, he's going to help. How is the house of Jeroboam at this point in time? Any existence from it? Wiped out. And the other we referred to here was who? Baasha? What's the status there? Wiped out. Okay. And it says the house of Ahab is going to be what? Just like these. I'm going to be totally wiped out. So that's the message he gave to Jehu that he became king. And look at what's going to happen. Dogs eat Jezebel on the plot of ground of Jezreel. It's going to wipe them out. And there's nothing left there. So this young son of the prophet goes, finds Jehu, anoints him, gives this message, and leaves. Gone. Okay? So now we can jump over then to 2 Chronicles and pick up the other part I wanted to, question 5 talked about there. Let's go do that. Yeah, let's pick up here. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 22 is where this next part is. All right, 2 Chronicles 22, we're going to look at the first 9 verses here. So, we're jumping now to from Jehu and king of Israel back down now to Judah. So, in Judah now, we're going to talk about that. So, the inhabitants of Israel made Ahaziah, the youngest son, king in place of Jehoram here. So, think about your lineage here. So, Ahaziah, Jehoram's son, is not going to be king. And he's 42 years old when he comes king. He's ready 1 year. His mother's Athaliah. We talked about this earlier when we started the class here. He's the granddaughter of Omri. Now, Ahaziah is king of Israel or Judah? Judah. Okay? But he's the grandson of who? Omri. Where was he? King of Israel. How is this king of Judah, the grandson of Omri, the king of Israel? Because of Omri, Ahab, and Jezebel, okay, and then their son down through there. So you jumping across these lines here because this marriage occurred between the two here. Okay. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. We're going to talk about that verse more just in a minute, getting through this other stuff here. So, they go out to war here. So Jehoram, king of Israel, son of Ahab, is joined with Ahaziah, king of Judah, to war against Hazael. So we got a war piece to take up here. So Ahaziah, king of Judah, works with Jehoram, king of Israel. And they're going to go to war against Hazael, king of Syria. Everybody got all these places in mind, you know, a little map here. Judah, Israel, Syria up here. They're going to war. Now, Jehoram, the king of Israel, is wounded during this battle. Okay? So the king of Israel is wounded. And he goes back to Jezreel. So I got a map up here to jump there, man. Here's Jezreel. Okay? Sea of Galilee, so think about Jerusalem being on down here. Ramoth Gilead is over here. Syria's up here. So here's Jezreel. So he goes back to Jezreel to recover. So Ahaziah then goes to visit with Jehoram, the king of Israel. So we've got both kings there together. Now their armies are still besieging Ramoth Gilead. That's why this picture up here. So the armies are still over here in Ramoth Gilead. They've gone back to Jezreel, back over here in Israel. Jehoram is wounded. Ahaziah's gone to see them, gone to visit him. So everybody got the scene kind of set there where they are. All right. So, What happens? And number five there talks about that. Okay. On your paper. So now, Jehu's going to come in the scene here. So Jehu comes up, and he goes to Jezreel, where they are, both those kings are. And, like I said, Jehoram's there, and Ahaziah's there. There's a watchman up there, and he sees Jehu's company coming. They're on the wall, on the watchtower, wherever he was in Jezreel, and he sees Jehu coming with apparently a nice band of men there, him and his company. So they send a horseman out to find out what? How you come? You come in peace? You come in, what you come in? Such a big band of people here coming with you there. So the horseman gets to Jehu. What Jehu was telling him to do? Fall in, okay? Come in with us. Don't go back and deliver any kind of message. Come in and become one of us. Okay? So what do they do next? Back in the city. So they got another horseman. Okay? He sends out. What do they do? Same thing. Join in the crowd here. Join with us. So now they realize that because apparently of what? That's Jehu. When they look at Jehu and decide that's who it is. The way he's driving his chariot, apparently. So I don't know what that was exactly, but it was fast, furious, wild, I don't know. But some way about Jehu, the way Jehu drove his chariot, let them know that this looks like Jehu's coming, the way he's driving. We had bad drivers in back in these days. Okay, So the kings go out, both of them, Jehoram and Ahaziah, go out to meet Jehu. Now it's kind of interesting where they met. On the field that belonged to who? Naboth. All right, somebody back up. Who's Naboth? How's this coming to play here, Trevor?
Ahab.
Yeah, that's the one that Ahab pouted about. Remember that? Because he wanted his vineyard. And Jezebel says, well, aren't you the king? Can't you get up and get what you want? I'll take care of it for you. So she went ahead and killed and told Ahab, go take your vineyard. Okay, I'll take care of this for you. So this is the same Naboth here. It's on this field where these two kings and Jehu meet. And what was Jehu's purpose? What did he come in to do? Kill him. Why? God told him to. Okay, that was his assignment. When the young son of the prophet anointed him, we just read back earlier, when you become king, you're to go out there and take and totally wipe out this house of Ahab, which would have been Jehoram, the king of Israel here. So he goes out there, they realize his purpose, so they're fleeing. What shall he do? Throws back his arrow and kills Jehoram. Okay? Kills Jehoram. If you're Ahaziah now, what you gonna be thinking about? Things ain't going too good right now, are they? Okay. So he kills him. And look at 1 Kings 9:25-26. Let me read 25 and 26. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Kings. Go back to 2 Kings 9 a minute. Or I'm 2 Chronicles. Go back to 2 Kings 9 right quick. And read 25 and 26. It's a parallel story here. What do they do with Jehoram when they kill him? There. 9, 25 and 26.
Send Jehu to discharge his captain, take up and cast one of the portions that we will make off of Jehu or by that. And I will get right after the Lord will make this first. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, said the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, said the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground.
Okay. So here's this descendant of Ahab and Jezebel that's been killed and his body dumped where? Naboth's vineyard. Naboth's field. Okay. Justice is coming around. Dumped it back there. But question number 8, Jehu is not finished. That's what this was read there. Okay. Jehu's not finished. He's got a couple more things to deal with here. So now question number 8. He kills two more. Who are they? Who's next? You jump back now, I think, 2 Kings, pick up the rest of the story there, probably. Ahaziah saw what happened, right? So he starts fleeing. What does Jehu do to him? Kill him, may pursue him and his servants take him back to Jerusalem for burial. But he was king of Judah, Ahaziah was. So Jehu's men killed him and they take him back to Jerusalem for burial. So now we got to both the kings gone. There's no king in Israel, there's no king in Judah now. They've both just been killed. We're going to take care of that with Jehu just in a minute on one of them. So I took care of that one. Now, who else is he going to kill? Jezebel. He finishes the assignment of wiping out the house of Ahab. So he goes into Jezreel, to the city, and Jezebel's there waiting for him. She's in the city. And so she asks him, what? Yeah. Are they okay? You come in peace? Well, what have you just got through doing? Killing two kings. I mean, are you on a peaceful mission here? Not exactly, okay. Now, she was standing up in a window with some of her units, some of us would wait on her there with her. And what did Jehu tell them to do? I don't like these things coming on the screen all at one time up here. It's supposed to come up one at a time, but my software and this software don't exactly work together or something. So what did Jehu say do? Throw out the window. Did they? What happened when she hit? Excuse me. Pretty good splash, wasn't it? I gotta tell the story right quick. Sure, I'm going to Tracy back here. Sure and Tracy were dating. Sure was in nursing school. She'd watch these gory shows on TV on Discovery Channel, Health Channel, these operations and surgeries. Tracy sit there, his very close to time. Okay. Being like his screaming stuff going on. Sure was slowing up, okay? So, but it's a pretty gruesome scene here. Throws it out, and Jehu's body. So what did they do then? Anybody take her body up and go back and bury her? What did Jehu do? Rode right across it. Okay? Rode right across it. Went into the city then. And they went in to eat. Yeah. I thought I had this part up here. They go up there and eat. This is question number 9. Describe the death here. Go in and eat. And finally, as they've been in and the blood is splattered, they go eat. I'm like, come on, Tracy, can you handle that? It's almost like Jehu thought, oh, yeah, we didn't do something about Jezebel's body laying out there, right? Excuse me, but I mean, stop. So, why do you think we ought to do something about it? After all, she was king's daughter. She was a queen, okay, Ahab's. They tell him to go do what? Okay, you guys, go out there and take care of what? Get it up and bury her. And what they find?
Skull, her feet, and her
coffin. Well, and the rest of it. The dogs. And what was the prophecy? What was the prophecy? On the plotter ground, Jezreel dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field in the plot of Jezreel. So they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. She had no tomb. There's no place to go look at and say, here's where Jezebel's buried.
That's where there's nobody ever had their kids.
Yeah.
So some level of her hardness, whatever, that you Zimri, that's
going to
be a land
of
wind.
Yep.
So she's throwing some pretty nasty stuff at him right there.
She's
got
a bold lady, isn't she? Yep.
She got pretty
much produced. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and since we think of Proverbs 6, which says it takes proud look and a lion's tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises evil, the eye of Jezebel.
Yep. Wicked, wicked, wicked lady.
Athaliah wasn't part of the line.
No, she wasn't. Okay. Anything else we need to talk about? We jump into that. And then Bill just kind of led into the part I want to talk about next here. Go back to 2 Chronicles, if you will. 2 Chronicles 26. No, I mean 22. 2 Chronicles 22. We kind of went through this first part here kind of briefly. Tracy, read 1 through 4, if you would there. 2 Chronicles 22, 1 through 4.
Happens to Jerusalem, made it Ahaziah, the youngest son, king in place. For the raiders who came from Arabia into the camp had killed all of the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he came. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. She also walked his way to the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore, he did evil
Okay. Lots of lessons right there. Lots of lessons there. Ahaziah. Who was he? Okay. Son of Jehoram, who was married to Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab Jezebel. Okay. So what kind of family trees he got? Pretty bad. Pretty bad influence to start with. Okay. Think about that. Jehoram married Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. His father was a wicked king. His in-laws were wicked. Yep. So, next part. Where did he get his advice? Look in there. What did it say? Who counseled him?
Those who came before. Yep.
Specifically down there in verse 3. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Why? For his mother counseled him to do wicked. Okay. So, mother, parents here, teaching their children. Now, where did Athaliah get hers? From her parents. Okay. So, yeah, his counsel from those that were evil and wicked. Okay. But, come down to verse 4. He did evil, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors. Okay. And what was his end? It's the last part of verse 4, say. To his destruction. To his own destruction. Now, is he on the Israel side of the kingdom or on the Judah side? He's on the Judah side. Okay. Lineage of David. Prophecy of 2 Samuel 7. Lineage of eventually Christ. Okay. They'll come by Messy then. That's the other part. That's the lesson I'm exactly getting into here. No, it's fine. You live right into it. Did he have to do this? Did he have to do this?
Nobody has.
Did he have to do this? But what was his total surroundings? Evil all around him. So what is more than likely going to be his outcome? It takes a mighty strong person to stand up to that kind of stuff there. But it can be done. Okay? It can be done. There's just some thoughts here that... Yes, sir. Jump in. We got plenty of time left this morning, so I need a lot of comments now. Okay. Yeah, I don't either. Off the top of my head.
So there's a precedent that if somebody was of the mind passed off.
Yep.
You know, there's a wicked family here.
Yep.
But as you said, you know, it's extreme. Another thing I can't help but think about. Is possible. A lot of times when we see people bad decisions today about friends with, they're married, and whatever, and people counsel them and say, there can be terrible consequences to blindness that you might get it, they don't see it, all the carnage, all the destruction, all the suffering and misery that Cain did not set up his son to marry the daughter of Ahab. It never happened.
Mm-hmm. And why would Jehoshaphat? What in common does he have with the kings of Israel?
Whatever reason he wanted to build that alliance, that relationship.
Go back to that very first chart a minute right quick. Get all his names up here. Right there. Here's what Trevor's talking about. It was this alliance right here. With this wickedness over here. That, who was king before him? Asa. Good king or bad king? Good king. Okay. And for the most part, Jehoshaphat. Good king or bad king? Good king. Okay. So you got 41 years Asa and 25 or something for Jehoshaphat. You've been through over 60 years of good kings in Judah. Any reason to think that couldn't continue? For the same reason as evil is going over here on the other side now. Why could not the good have come from the other way? But when good associates with evil, who generally wins? Evil does. And look at the consequences that Trevor's getting too. How many generations here is that going to plow through here? How much death? The death we've had today. Violent death. That would have been there. I would have pronounced this judgment on them had they done right. So, we'll get in just two comments in Larry's lesson next time. Since we have no king over here, okay, he's been killed, but Jehu's already been what? Been anointed to be king, right? So we got this taken care of over here. Over here we have no king. He's been killed all of a sudden too. Now what's going to happen?
Elijah's going to be sure he was king.
He's going to take over for a while. Now can you imagine that in Judah? don't get too far ahead to the next time. Bless them. Okay. But now Athaliah is going to be king over in Judah. Now which direction is Judah going? From worse to worse, as the old saying goes. Yeah. Your companions, 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah.
If you look throughout this, at one kingdom has two kings. Power tends to corrupt. That's translated even today. Our politicians, locally, state, national, get in power, and they think, I can win these things. They're wicked because they didn't have to have
right.
A
on the circus, they didn't, yeah.
Totally thinking, just an observation I was making here through this, and this is consistent throughout the Bible, and I probably should research this before I speak out. One of the things that I find in the Bible is the honor given to a person for burial. It's just a random question I got not long ago that I was totally unprepared to answer about cremation, and I was just completely unprepared to answer that. But I think as I'm reading through here, there is a dignity and honor, and we see it, you know, either they wanted their folks to be with their fathers, and here in Jezebel, the fact that she did not get a burial was maybe an obvious point, but the fact that she didn't get a burial was a disgrace befitting her lifestyle. And so I think that's
well, we had three people killed here. What happened to Jehoram? Out in the field of Naboth, right? Just more or less dumped out there. And then what they do with Ahaziah? Took him back to Jerusalem for burial. Okay. And then here's Jezebel that just fell off the deep end. Yeah. Back to Ahab's time, right? Yeah. And they have other kings we've had that studied about that was buried in the city of Jerusalem, but not what? Not the scepters of the kings, because of but they had done. So yeah, it's a very significant point there. That they put a lot of emphasis on the dignity of the burial, right? Yeah. Yeah. And he bring it across to Christ time. What did Joseph do? What did the women who came to the tomb do? Joseph was a secret disciple, but he wanted that burial to take place. Yes, sir.
I know Bob always had one of the illustrations he used for this that has always stuck with me. That I think I was in that high school college age when it did, so I thought it would for those teaching that. Is he used the concept of a clean body and a body with AIDS and blood transfusion of that person with AIDS into this clean body over here? What happens to the clean body? That's the illustration he used to illustrate this relationship between these two kingdoms, and so, you know, just throw out there for those teaching that that's a pretty powerful illustration. The clean body never overcomes. Firmly, it's not going to overcome the effect.
Okay, we got about a minute left. Anything else? Trevor, go ahead.
The problem with this idea of influence, you see him wrestling with that, and you see him, you know, at the end of the ships are destroyed, and you see that Jehoshaphat did overcome this problem. But again, I think the powerful lesson is you look, children are generally weaker than their parents, so the younger, less experienced, less mature. And Jehoshaphat is exposed to his children, so he manages struggles to overcome. But this dude is children. I mean, there's a much bigger scope than just ourselves. And, well, I can handle it. Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can't. But what about your children?
Yep. And what's on that? And we got to get even further to those around you, the influence of those around you. Maybe you can't, but those you associate with can't. Things like that. So, okay. Thank you.